What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Welcome in to Season 3, Episode 8 of the Out of Options podcast on the 435 Podcast Network, 96.5thefan.com, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. I am your host, Steven Spector, and this podcast is dedicated to getting to know the Royals minor leaguers in the hopes that we can follow their journey from the minors to the majors. And whether that's at Kauffman Stadium or with another organization, it's always cool when one of these guys gets to have their dream realized in their major league debut. New episodes released every Tuesday during the Royals minor league season, so that's about May through September. And again, please subscribe, please download, and if you're kind enough, please leave a review so that we can share this with as many Royals fans as possible. On today's episode, I talk with Sam Kulasingham, who is the Royals' 13th round pick back in 2024 out of the Air Force Academy and is currently with the Quad City River Bandits in High A. Sam has had a very unique path to professional baseball, was teammates with Paul Skeens at Air Force, and has some really, really fun answers when we finish the episode going on the bus. But where I started my conversation with Sam was he was born in California, but raised in the Raleigh-Durham area.
Yeah, so I was born in Santa Rosa, California. My grandparents on my dad's side of the family are from Fairfield. And then now I still have some family on that side that live in Petaluma. But they moved out to North Carolina because my dad got a job with Duke when I was, I don't know, two or three. So I didn't know California. All I knew growing up was North Carolina and the Triangle area, basically, where I grew up.
Okay. Well, I had a whole plan about your childhood, but now you're also talking to a Duke fan. So let's shift gears for a second. Did you grow up a Duke basketball fan?
A little bit, yeah. So I honestly was never really into college basketball that much.
Okay.
But whenever like Duke was making playoff runs, stuff like that, I would pull for them. I usually had them winning my March Madness brackets and that kind of stuff. But just because neither of my parents were, or I'll say like, my dad was never a huge like sports fan. Just didn't interest him a ton. And so even though he got his MBA at Duke, he was never super like attached to the sports there.
When did baseball become your sport? I mean, some guys are late bloomers, some new from elementary school. When did you really truly start focusing on baseball?
Yeah, well, growing up, my parents wanted me to just play different things, have fun. And so, I played flag football, basketball, soccer, and baseball were the basically the four growing up that I played. Once football, like I guess kind of middle school time, turned into tackle football. I wasn't allowed to play that anymore. And then I kept playing soccer. So it was basically baseball and soccer throughout middle school and high school. And I think, I was all right at soccer. I was good. Like I was a starter on varsity and stuff, but I wasn't, by any means going to play in college or professionally or anything like that. And so I think that's kind of a high school time was kind of when I realized, baseball was my number one sport.
Who did you grow up watching in baseball? Was there a particular team? Was there a particular player? What got you into the sport?
Yeah, so what got me into it was actually my brother playing baseball at a young age. I would basically be at his games. He'd be playing, and I would be sitting there with my glove, like throwing a ball to myself, just kind of wanting to be out there. And so because of that, my parents then signed me up so I could go play. So that's kind of what got me into it.
Well, I actually think I may know the answer, but again, you can never really trust what you read on the internet. On your Air Force bio, it said you grew up a San Francisco Giants fan. Is that correct?
Okay. So my dad's side of the family is from Northern California, like I said. So they were always Giants fans. My mom actually grew up in Oklahoma,
Okay.
and one of the only channels she had was WGN, which is what the Cubs play on. And so my mom was always a really big Cubs fan. So as a kid, I got to go to some Cubs games in Chicago, which was a blast. And then I did get to go see AT&T, which is, I think they renamed it Oracle Park maybe or
Yep.
something. I don't know. It used to be AT&T.
For sure.
But yeah, so
So,
it was always kind of Cubs and Giants.
okay.
So yeah, like Brandon Crawford, I thought he'd smooth, like I love the way he played. Relaxed.
I tried to do the math. You would have been probably 13, maybe 14 years old when the Giants played the Royals in the 2014 World Series. Do you remember that World Series at all?
I do. And I was definitely pulling for the Giants because it would have been what their third in 5 years.
Every other year, yeah.
10, 12, and 14. So yeah, I was ironically definitely playing for the Giants that year. But
Is it surreal now to be on the other? I mean, it's 11 years later, but surreal to be on the other side of that World Series matchup that, as a 13-year-old, you're like really into baseball. You really live and die with every pitch. And now 11 years later, you're playing, for the organization that lost to your favorite team growing up in a very pivotal World Series.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because when I hear it from former Royals players that played in that era, like Moustakas and Alex Gordon, those guys will like come back and talk to us and stuff. They talk about it as like the 14, 15 years where it's like 14 they went, they lost, and just the attitude that they showed up to spring training in 15 with, they could tell they're gonna be really good because they had all the pieces. They'd obviously made it to the World Series the year before. And that loss kind of, I guess, almost flipped a little switch in them. And so in 15, they were basically even more determined. And then obviously they won it that year.
Yeah, they don't win in 15 if they don't lose in 14. It's kind of one of those
That's a good way
domino
to put
effects
it.
or butterfly effects, however you want to put it. When did the recruiting process start for you? Was it early in high school? Was it late in high school? When did teams start noticing you? When did you start going to camps or getting letters from different coaches?
Yeah, so I was actually pretty small entering high school. Like eighth grade year, I was probably maybe 5'9", really lanky. And then my freshman year, I grew a little bit. Sophomore year, I grew even more. And so I went to camps, freshman year and a little bit of sophomore year, and didn't have a ton of interest. And then more so sophomore year and into that summer, I played well in the high school season. And then when we were out in different tournaments like Worldwide Bad and more national tournaments like that, I had some college coaches see me play. Just from smaller schools, on the East Coast, Winthrop, App State, to name a couple. And that's kind of what I thought my baseball journey would look like, either something like that or going to a D2 or D3 that had really good academics, because that's kind of what my parents always stressed. And Coach Kaz at Air Force saw me play. To be honest, I and Sam Ruda and the West Point guys will find this funny. I thought there was only one military academy. I thought West Point was the only military academy. I didn't know there were other ones. And so when I heard an Air Force coach wants to talk to you, I was like, Air Force, like what does that mean? And wasn't really interested. Didn't know anything about it, just assumed it wasn't for me. Hadn't come out on an unofficial. I wasn't even really sure about that. My mom was like, no, go see what it's like. And I went out there and I loved it. I thought it was the coolest thing. And so, yeah, I mean, once I went on my visit, it took me another probably a month or two to actually make the decision to verbally commit. But yeah, that's what did it to me. That the visit was special.
So academically, did you have an idea of what you wanted to study before you went to Air Force? Did you know what you were going to major in, or if baseball wasn't the career path, what you had thought about doing as an adult?
Yeah, so I kind of always wanted to do something with physical therapy. Just anatomy interests me, and science in general. And so when I got to the academy, for a brief moment there, I was like, ooh, maybe aeronautical engineering. And then I took Calc 3 and I was like, maybe not. And so I decided on, I majored in bio while I was there. And then, I got to take anatomy, 2 semesters of anatomy. Got to take a nutrition class that I really enjoyed. But yeah, kind of physical therapy was always kind of something that interests me. And so, hopefully, we'll see how, baseball and the military and stuff turn out. But, maybe one day I could go back to school for it or something.
In talking to Sam Rudon last week's episode, I now have a little bit of a better sense of life at a service academy while playing baseball. But one of the things that he mentioned was the first week when he showed up at West Point, it was an eye-opening experience, and it took an adjustment where it was you're waking up at 5 for roll call, you got your classes, you have your mandatory breakfasts, your lunch, you got baseball practice in the afternoon, you got to do your homework, and then it's lights out at 11. It's very regimented. Is it the same way at the Air Force Academy, or is it a little more lax and a little more similar to what a college experience would be?
I'd say it's very similar. I think my freshman year was completely messed up by COVID. And so, because I entered the academy in the summer of 2020, I think we were one of the first schools to actually get back in session. So my freshman year actually looked a lot different than what normal academy freshman years look like. But yeah, in general, we'd have more information a couple times a week. At 6:30, you have breakfast. Classes start at 7:30, go to 11:30. Lunch. There's more classes after lunch, but the athletes will only have morning classes because after lunch we head down to practice. Practice, lift, study hall, and then basically dinner, go to bed, wake up, do it all over again.
Do it all over again.
It's a packed day, but you get into a rhythm of it, and then I'll say like the days are long, but because you're so busy, the weeks are short, the months are short, and it actually goes by. It goes by quick.
Was it a hard adjustment? And then after that week, 2 weeks, month, whatever it is, you get into a routine and it becomes almost second nature.
Yeah, I would agree. I think after a couple of months of it, it's actually weird when you have free time. So when you go home for breaks and stuff, I don't know what to do with yourself because normally your time is so regimented that now when you're at home and your time's not regimented, you're a little confused on how to fill your time.
Yeah, I can see
But
that.
yeah, once you get into a rhythm of it, it goes a lot smoother.
And this could be the dumbest question in the history of this podcast,
No
but
worries.
when people hear Air Force, they think fighter jets, right? Flying, all that. But in like the movie Top Gun, for example, Tom Cruise is a naval fighter jet pilot. So I guess how does that translate, right? I mean, the Air Force is. What's the
Yeah.
Air Force's responsibility versus a naval aviator, right?
So, I believe the US Navy has the second largest Air Force in the world behind
Okay.
the United States Air Force. When you think Navy, think fighters off of carriers and helicopters.
Okay.
When you think of Air Force, think of everything else. So think of fighters, but off of like bases, like ground, the earth. Think cargo aircraft, shipping all sorts of stuff, people, goods, everything you can imagine. Think refuelers, aerial refuelers. Think reconnaissance planes, think drones.
This
What
is why the
else?
technology and all the engineering courses come into handy over your 4 years.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. So
All
that's
right.
when you think of the Navy specializes in taking off carriers and being able to assert an aerial force using like their ships, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Whereas The Air Force basically does everything, like, as fighters, obviously, but also does everything else that happens in the air.
Let's shift to the Diamond. How big of a jump was it from your senior year of high school to playing in the Mountain West Conference? That's a big time baseball conference. There's some really good players out west.
Yeah, it was tough. The hardest thing for me, going from high school to college was getting used to hitting velocity. And it comes with time, and it's the same going from college to professional baseball. It's just getting used to hitting higher velocities, and better stuff. And so, yeah, I mean, it took me, a year or two, to kind of make that adjustment. It's hard. But when you're in high school, you're normally seeing, we played in a really good baseball conference in high school, where usually every night you're facing some guy that's committed to a Division I school on the bump. A lot of power five arms, that kind of stuff. And so, in high school, you're seeing anywhere from 84 to like 90. And then when you get to college, every single guy is going to be like 88 to 92. And then you have guys on, the lower end and the upper end and that kind of stuff. And so that was tough. It also made it tough that we only played two games my senior year of high school because of
Because of
COVID.
COVID.
So basically played in the spring and the summer. So spring of my junior year, the summer before my senior year. Played soccer in the fall my senior year. Went out, played two games, and then didn't play besides some. We do some, live ABs, and we like put together some games, stuff like that. That like summer before I went to Air Force, and then played fall ball, but didn't actually have like the game experience of hitting until the following spring, obviously, which was my freshman year of college. So it was a tough transition.
Well, speaking of velocity, I didn't look this up, but I'm going to make an assumption. You were teammates with, you probably crossed paths with Paul Skeens while you were at Air Force, right?
Yeah, we're the same recruiting class.
Okay. Because Sam last week said that he faced him. He was a catcher to start, but then would go to the bullpen, close out games, and he was throwing 97 to 100. Did you guys have any sense that Paul Skeens would go from your recruiting class to certainly now one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball in 5 years?
I think just pure, like, based on his size, his work ethic, and his stuff, I think we knew he'd be a first rounder as a pitcher. I mean, if you took the pitching out of it and he was just a catcher, he probably could have been a first rounder as a catcher. He's really good behind the dish. Obviously, has a good arm, but understands the game well, like pitch calling. He's a huge, obviously a huge target to throw to, and he has really good hands, and he can also swing it. So like he would have been a really good catcher as well. But yeah, so I think we all kind of understood that he would be a first rounder, but I don't think we understood that, this guy was going to be
All
one
world.
one and be, as soon as he got to the majors, arguably the best pitcher in the major leagues. And I think it's a testament to his work ethic and the kind of guy he is. He's not flashy or showy or like or all about himself. It's the same Paul we knew, right? Like he works his tail off, and you don't see a majority of what he does. So like if you see him doing extra work or something, that's probably, 10% of all the stuff he actually does behind the scenes.
I guess this is, again, long list of dumb questions. I guess I never realized you could transfer out of a service academy.
Yeah, so once you start your junior year, so once you go to the first day of class your junior year, that's when you commit to said branch. So for us, obviously, the Air Force. So once you go to the first day of class your junior year, you're committed for your junior year and senior year, so the last 2 years of college, plus whatever your commitment is based on the job you get. Anytime your freshman year or sophomore year, though, you can leave for any reason. Military's not for you. Academics are too hard. Sports If either you don't like the sports there, or if you want to transfer out for something different, you can leave. So yeah, I think one of the common questions I get is, do people who leave still owe service time if they leave freshman or sophomore year? And you actually don't. With Paul, we all supported it because we're like, this dude is he's the truth. He's really good. He works his tail off. He's not transferring just to. He's not transferring for like the fame or anything like that. Like
For the wrong
he's
reasons. He's transferring for the
exactly like
right
he's doing it for the
reasons.
right reasons. Yeah. And so we all, we were all behind him. We all supported him.
So he went on to great success, but so did you. You are one of four players in Mountain West Conference baseball history to be the two-time player of the year. And that award is named after Tony Gwynn, who obviously played at San Diego State. You're on a very short list of notoriety in that baseball conference. That you had tremendous success while you were at Air Force. What do you think is credit to that?
I just give it. I give it all to my teammates and coaches. Because the time I get there as a freshman is nowhere. I'm nowhere close to the player that I was when I left as a senior. That's testament to all the coaches we had. Yeah, I could go down the list, but the volleys that were there, even if they're only there for a year, how much of an impact that they had on me, all my teammates. That they pushed me every day, pushed me better in the weight room. They pushed me to be better, offensively, defensively, and so I mean they deserve all the credit at the end of the day because without them, I'm not here. Whether it was coaches or teammates coming early to hit, staying late to hit, doing defense early, staying after a game to do whatever defense, hitting, whatever it was. Those are the guys that deserve the credit.
Whenever you talk to athletes, any sport, whether it's the Hockey Four Nations this year, wearing USA across your chest, or World Baseball Classic coming up this next spring, being able to represent USA, I think everybody has passion and for the jersey that they put on, right? But is there something extra for you to put on a Service Academy uniform and have that Air Force on the front of your jersey?
It's special. Yeah, it's special because I think what a lot of people don't always realize is for academies, yes, we want to win and we want to do well, but it's about so much more. It's about dealing with stress, dealing with adversity, dealing with pressure. How can you overcome those things? Can you set goals? Can you go achieve them? Right? Can you work towards the betterment of yourself, the betterment of your teammates?
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from.
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
All that stuff translates into the military. And that's why we have, the world's greatest Air Force, the world's greatest Navy, and the world's greatest Army. It's because the values instilled through sports carry over to the military. And so when we go on that field, like for me, that when I wore Air Force across my chest, that's what it was about. Right? Like, I think that's what a lot of people don't always understand. They look out there and they'll be like, "Oh, Air Force lost today," or something like that, or Air Force won today. And it's like, cool. Like, yeah, we obviously we're super competitive. We want to win. But at the end of the season and at the end of your 4 years at the academy, it's about so much more than the win column or your stats and stuff like that.
Everybody knows Army Navy football, right? That's a rivalry. That's a bucket list item for a lot of sports fans. Who is the one team that when Air Force baseball takes the field, you want to beat that team? And if it's not another service academy, that's totally fine.
No, it is. I would honestly say it was probably Navy. So we, as much as we disliked Army, we hated Navy. We hated like when we played against them, just the kind of the way they acted in competitiveness towards us. We hated them. Army, I'll say we disliked, but we got along with them better. So like we went and played Army my senior year in the fall for like a scrimmage game. We stayed in their dorms with them and stuff. And they're cool dudes. Like Gruda, Galinsky is who I stayed with. I played center for them. And they're cool dudes. So obviously we wanted to beat the crap out of them too, but I think Navy is the one that we hated more.
Give me an example. Like something must have,
It, I
was it
mean,
chirping? Was it
yeah,
just an
it was
attitude? What
just
was it?
I would say it was chirping. And we always thought we were better than Navy. And I think it really started my sophomore year. So my freshman year, we didn't play them because of COVID. We actually played Army for three games instead at the neutral site we normally play Navy at. So we didn't play Navy till my sophomore year. And it, I think it all started then. So we beat them game one. We'd pull on the bump. We beat them game one. Saturday it ran, it torrentially downpours, right? And so the next day, we want to play two nines. The rumor is they wanted to play two sevens because they don't have as deep of a pitching staff as we do. So we end up playing two sevens. They sweep the doubleheader. They beat us in both sevens. And we're torn up about it. Like we were pissed. And so I think it all kind of started there.
But at the same time, and I talked to Sam Root about this, you want to beat the team across the field from you, but at the end of the day, you're all part of the same, right? At the end of, you're all service academies, you're all working towards the same goal in the 50,000 foot view, big picture. So it must be strange to want to hate Navy, kick their ass on the field, but also at the same time have the respect that they're going this, through the same things that you guys are going through.
Oh, 100%. And I think what's really cool now is seeing what all those guys are going to do. So like guys going to flight school, and that kind of stuff. It's cool because it's like, I wanted to destroy you on the baseball field, but now it's like, man, this dude's like, we got guys, Air Force grads obviously going to fly planes, Navy guys going to fly planes, Army guys flying helos and doing stuff. It's really cool to see how competitive we all were on the field, but now seeing how everyone's contributing through their own branch to the common goal.
So fast forward to July of 24, you finished your career at Air Force, MLB drafts coming around. Did you know that you were going to get drafted? What were your expectations going into July of 2024?
I wasn't sure. So, I think the 2023 draft actually helped me out because in 2023, I was talked to by a couple teams. I was in a weird spot though, where I had to go back because I already finished my junior year, so I was already committed to finishing my 4 years of education and serving my commitment. So even if I got drafted in 23, I would have had to go back to school, but I wouldn't have been able to play baseball collegially. And so I had some teams talk to me in 23, ended up getting picked up by the Blue Jays. Didn't end up signing just because for me, I didn't know if it was right. I didn't really want to leave my teammates and that kind of stuff. I wanted to play one more season with them because I was going to be at school anyway. So I basically, I would have seen them, traveling to go play and stuff like that, but not being able to be a part of it, I think would have been tough. But obviously no bad feelings for the Blue Jays. They treated me amazing, and I appreciate their organization and what they did for me. Fast forward to 24, I didn't have a good senior. I had a very average senior year. I'm hampered by injuries and stuff. I wasn't sure if I'd get drafted. I had some teams talk to me. There were actually some teams that were unsure if I wanted to keep playing or even could keep playing, like if the Air Force would allow me to. And so I really wasn't sure. We got through day one and two. Day three, I'm working out and doing stuff, getting some calls like, hey, we're trying to get you here, trying to get you here. And then I get a was either a text or a call from my agent, saying like, "Hey, I think the Royals might have you in the, I think it was the 13th round." And so, at this point, I'm back home. I've had finished my workout and everything, and we're watching the draft tracker, and then saw my name pop up, which is pretty cool. But yeah, I honestly wasn't sure if, a month after that I'd be serving active duty in the military or if I'd be playing professional baseball.
Walk me through the moment after you saw your name on the draft tracker. What happened in that next 15 minutes? What happened in the next 24 hours? Celebration, this, that, or the other?
Yeah, it was hectic to say the least. So, obviously got a call from my signing scout with the Royals, and basically it was like, "Hey, we want to get you out to AZ so that you can start this draft mini camp to kind of build you back up." Because I hadn't played summer ball. I'd basically just spent the last like month and a half just getting healthy, and then getting my feet under me again and hitting and stuff like that. And so, I mean, within probably 48 hours, I was on a plane to Arizona. But yeah, it was cool. Had a lot of friends and family, text me, call me, say congrats. But it was also really hectic, like trying to pack up what I need in, 48 hours and get out to Arizona so I could basically sign and then start this like draft camp.
Did you have a welcome to pro ball moment?
Oh, yeah, honestly, I would say so. Last year, after the kind of the draft camp, I went to Columbia, our low A, for a week, and then came here to Quad Cities. That first week, we're on the road, we're playing Beloit, who's the Marlins affiliate, and they have really good arms. And so, like, day one, it was like day one, I think, was Carson Millbrandt, who's, I don't know, 94 to 97, good ride. Day two was Noble Meyer, who was obviously a really high pick a couple years ago at high school. Day three was, I think, like Thomas White. So, like, in the first 3 days, it was like three dudes that were legit, like really good arms. And I was like, "Oh man, this is tough." But obviously, like, over time, you get more used to pitch shapes, and higher velocities, and you figure out adjustments to hitting guys with better ride or better sink or, whatever it may be. So, just remembering that, it's a learning process, right? Like, they didn't draft us 'cause of who we are, like, right then. They drafted us because who they think we can become through this learning process.
All right, well, let's end the podcast with some rapid fire random questions to get to know you better. We call it on the bus.
Cool.
I want to know how often people are mispronouncing your last name and if it ever has happened over the loudspeaker at a stadium.
Oh, 100% all the time. Mispronounced it, they misspelled it.
Kulasingam.
Yeah, you nailed it. But I
Okay.
mean, people, you could anything you can imagine. Yeah, they butcher it all the time. Luckily, our home announcer does great.
I could see it getting messed up on a lot of road
But yeah, and
ballparks.
when we go on the road,
It says on your bio that nap and a music playlist are part of your pregame routines. Is that true or false?
completely true. So the nap usually comes early in the day before I get to the field. But I do like having, whether I go in the training room and do like leg sleeves or something, and just close my eyes and chill for a little bit. And now the pregame playlist is usually like someone in the clubhouse has a pregame playlist for the day. So I don't usually throw my own headphones in, but those are the nap usually comes before I go to the field. And then the pregame playlist was more of a college thing. But now, like, we have music in the clubhouse, so I usually don't listen to my own music.
When you were in college, give me a couple songs from that playlist.
Oh man, it's well. There's different playlists, is the thing. So
Okay,
I have like a.
let's hear the different playlists then. Maybe not the songs. Give me the different
Fair, fair,
playlist
fair. So
titles.
I have a slow country playlist, which is like calm, pretty
Little
chill, pretty laid back.
Eric
I
Church,
have,
Talladega, kind of that
yeah,
vibe.
exactly,
Okay.
more like folk stuff almost. I have an upbeat country, which is, I don't want to say like pop country, but it's definitely more.
Luke Bryan, Florida Georgia Line.
There you go.
Okay.
You're following my drift. I have
Yep.
a classics, which is like Willie Nelson, like Waylon Jennings, like those guys. I have a rap playlist, which was like really kind of get me like amped up because normally I like to play like calmer. That's just kind of who I am as a human. And then I have an alternate playlist, which would be like Noah Kahan and that kind of stuff. So yeah, it just depends on the day, like kind of what I'm feeling.
You need the rap playlist before you play Navy, it sounds like.
That's exactly right. That's probably the only time it gets used.
What's your favorite baseball movie of all time?
Oh man, it's a harder question than one would think. I feel like I gotta go Bull Durham.
Oh, classic. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean hometown.
Announce your presence with
The
authority.
crazy thing is, yeah, I hadn't watched that movie for the longest time, and my mom was like, "Hey, this is 25 minutes from where you live. You need to watch this movie if you're gonna like keep playing baseball." So she made me watch it. I think it was in college at the time, like on one of my breaks or something.
I bet a lot of
Yeah,
your current teammates have never seen the movie or maybe even heard of the movie. So
that's fair. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
it was made in the 80s. It's now like a 40-year-old movie. So, I mean, that checks out a little bit. All right. Rack your brain here for a second. One pitcher in baseball history could be dead, alive, retired, that you would love to step into the batter's box and face.
I gotta go Paul Skenes.
But you faced him before. That doesn't count.
I've actually only faced him probably two or three times. And that's when he was that would have been our freshman year. So at the time he was 90, probably 92 to 96. So I mean
Lots changed since then.
I want to see the 90-97 to 101 sweeper changeup. yeah
Splinker, all the other
yeah
made up
every
baseball
yeah
terms.
yeah
All right, fair enough.
that'd be the one guy.
What's one thing that you're not good at that you wish you were good at? So I'll give you time to think on it
Ooh.
because I wish I could sing. I sound so good in the
Yeah,
car when I'm listening
that's
to
a good
music,
one.
but
Yeah.
it would be a fun talent to have for karaoke nights or whatever. I wish I could sing.
Yeah, man, singing, that's a really good one. I think playing the guitar. So I think I grew up playing, I played the violin. My parents wanted me to play an instrument, and somehow I ended up on the violin. So I played the violin throughout elementary school and middle school and stuff. And honestly, actually really enjoyed it. And so when I got to college, my buddy was on a new guitar, sold me his for pretty cheap. And I was like, I could probably pick this up pretty easy. And no, it was actually much harder than I expected. And so, yeah, I wish I was better at playing the guitar.
Where do you come out on the one gorilla versus 100-man fight debate?
I mean, 100 men is a ton. They're gonna the 100 men are gonna win. In my
Okay.
opinion, I just think, obviously, gorillas are strong, but it gets to a point where there's so many people, all with the same goal of beating this gorilla that the gorilla is gonna just it's gonna get overwhelmed. And the gorilla might be able to take on 10, 15, 20 guys, 25, but 100 people is a lot of people. Yeah, I'm taking the 100 men.
All right, I'll get you out of here on three more. What's your current walk-up music song?
Current walk-up song is "It Was a Good Day"
Ice
by
Cube?
Ice Cube. Yep. Yeah, I also had it in college for one of my college years, and that's kind of what I decided on at the end of the year.
If you could be one Marvel character, who would you be?
Man, that's tough. I would say,
I think there's only two right answers. I'm curious if you'll agree.
wow,
I'm not going to
only
say it
two right
yet because, yeah,
answers.
I think there's two right answers.
Oh, so I would. My first thought was Iron Man, but it can't be Iron Man because Iron Man doesn't, besides being really smart, he doesn't actually have really any powers. He's really smart.
He's also really rich. So
He
Iron Man
also has
would
a
be
lot
one
of
of my t
money.
Iron Man would be one of my two.
Okay. It's
Rich,
the
got
same
cool
with
toys.
like Captain America is just kind of plain. Like it's cool, obviously, like the captain, but he just has a shield and he's really strong. So I couldn't go him. That's really hard. I almost want to say like Thor. I think Thor would be pretty cool. Fly around, beat up people with your hammer.
Thor's the number three for me. Captain America is actually two for me.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah.
So
I'd
one,
probably go Thor.
he's universally beloved, right? Like nobody dislikes Captain America. Two, if
True.
I was that jacked, I would never wear a shirt. I'd be walking around
Yeah.
shirtless in public all day long.
Yep, that's
Yeah.
fair.
Iron Man
That's
one,
fair.
Captain America two, Thor three. I think we're on
Okay,
the same.
yeah.
Close
It's a
enough.
good list. Yeah,
Yeah. Final one. What do you do on the bus? Can you sleep?
yeah. I do sleep. So we take two buses, which is nice. So each guy has their own like basically full row. So I didn't do this at first, but I saw other guys do it, and I took over the strategy of bringing a pillow, and I'll lay my backpack actually up against like the window almost pillow, and then lay across. So my legs actually go across the aisle. But yeah, I sleep a lot. If I'm not tired, I'll read, listen to a podcast, that kind of stuff.
Cool. Any particular
Yeah.
podcasts?
Hidden Brain's really good. I enjoy it. It's just like psychology and behavioral stuff that pops up. I'll listen to audiobooks and stuff too. Usually my mom will give me recommendations. She's an English teacher, so she'll give me, she's like, oh, you should read this. This is really good. Or I'll just ask her, like, hey, I'm looking for something in this kind of genre. Like, I'm looking for like a military book, or I'm looking for like a sciencey book, that kind of stuff. She'll give me a recommendation. So
And is there a snack that you have to have while you're on the bus while you're listening to these? Whether it's, I've heard that the Sun Chips on the Quad City bus is very popular, but if
this is
there's this.
true. This is true. We do have a ton of Sun Chips in the locker room, so a lot of guys bring that. I didn't find these till this year, and I'm a huge fan. They're salt and pepper pistachios, but
Okay.
they're pre-shelled, and salt and peppered, and they are amazing. So that's kind of what I've been on the past couple road trips. That's what I've been snacking on, and maybe some candy here and there if I'm feeling it.
Well, Sam, I really appreciate you taking the time today. Thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck the rest of the way in the season, and hopefully we'll see you up here in Kansas City soon enough.
Sweet. Thanks, Steven. Thanks for having me, man.
In back-to-back weeks, it's been Sam Ruda and Sam Coolisingham. Ruda, obviously, at the West Point Academy, and Coolisingham from the Air Force Academy. So back-to-back Service Academy guys, one undrafted and one drafted, each back in 2024. Appreciate both Sams and Sam Coolisingham for sitting down with me in this season three, episode eight of the Out of Options podcast, and certainly be interesting to track his career as he is approaching the end of his first full professional baseball season in Quad Cities. Thank you again for listening. Remember, new episodes released every Tuesday here on the Out of Options podcast. If you can, please subscribe, please download, please leave a review wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's the Odyssey app, Apple Music, Spotify, what have you. It's also available on 96.5thefan.com. Just go on the 435 Podcast Network tab. Thank you so much for listening. No episode next week as I'll be on vacation, but new episodes typically release every Tuesday. And I thank you so much for listening. This has been another episode, season three, episode eight of the Out of Options podcast. Talk to you in a couple weeks.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.